small bill.
The meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will please come to order. It is February 16th, 2011. And we have one bill on the agenda today, and it is Senator Peterson's bill, Senate File 114. Senator Peterson?
The potential is it could be very bad. Bad as it was. But there's chances it could be very bad.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about this bill. I think it's important to note that previously in Jobs and Economic, this bill moved forward with no opposition. Of course, I hope that's our goal today in front of your committee. There's really two parts of this bill. It deals with unemployment. There's two sections. The first deals with the unemployment of business owners. What happened last year, I believe it was inadvertently happened, but I think there's some, I've heard two sides of that story since, but what happened last year in a bill that was passed, it made, or took away unemployment benefits to children or siblings of business owners so that they only receive 5 weeks of unemployment benefits. And so what this bill does, the first section is just treats siblings or children of business owners exactly the same as any other employee. You know, I first heard about this from a customer of mine who runs about 10 or 12 dump trucks. And so he went and laid off his 10 dump truck drivers, two of which were his sons, who have their own families, their own homes, their own car payments. And they went in to file for benefits and discovered they only had 5 weeks coming. And all his other employees were entitled to the full benefits as any other person would be applying for unemployment. So that's what we're fixing with the first section. The second section, I have Mr. Lee Nelson with us as well from the Department of Employment and Economic Development, as you all know as DEED. And the second section really deals with the extension and bringing Minnesota in line with the federal extension that was passed in the lame duck session just a few months ago by Congress. There's no cost to the second part. You probably have a fiscal note in front of you as well relating to the first part, which you'll see there's about a $2 million cost. But as a business owner myself and as somebody that paid $85,000 into this system last year alone, I'll tell you that most business people don't have a problem with that and don't have a problem with this fund operating in a deficit as it is right now. I think Deed will tell you that the fund is scheduled to be back in the black by 2013. And it's I think the main concern from the business community is that if we would allow this fund to continue to grow and grow with higher rates, that the legislature may be tempted to go after those dollars and use for other things rather than unemployment. Businesses operate with a line of credit on a regular basis and are very comfortable with the fund balance in this unemployment fund right now. With that, I certainly would entertain any questions unless Mr. Nelson has anything to add.
Mr. Nelson.
Madam Chair, Senators, I am Lee Nelson. I'm the legal counsel to the Unemployment Insurance Program in Minnesota. I just want to state for the record that the department fully supports this bill. These two sections had passed through our advisory council this last fall, fully supported by all business groups and labor groups and legislators, including Senator Bonhoff. And it was part of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council bill, and these two sections were taken out and moved on the fast track. That advisory council bill has not yet been introduced into the legislature, but I just want to say that we fully support this bill.
Do members have any questions? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is it Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Nelson.
You have to excuse me because I'm not real conversant with this area, but I did receive some phone calls a couple of months ago from a constituent who owns a construction company and has some adult children that works for him and fits within this description of the 25% owner. And his complaint to me was that although he has to pay in on the unemployment tax on behalf of his adult children that work for him, they are not able, these children are not able to collect unemployment benefits longer. I think it was longer than 5 weeks, even though he's paying in on the tax. Does this bill correct that, which would enable then, you know, even family members to collect if they are in fact paying in?
Mr. Nelson?
Madam Chair, Senator Newman, yes, that is what Section 1 does.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Pedersen, I just want to thank you for bringing this forward. That is a pretty important issue to small business owners, and they were, I will tell you, very unhappy when I talked to them about the fact that they pay the tax but they don't get the benefit. So thank you, Senator Pedersen.
Mr. Nelson.
Madam Chair, Senator Newman, I do want to point out that that 5 weeks of benefits that would be paid is the reason it's 5 weeks is that is the amount they're actually paying in on that worker. When the worker receives more than 5 weeks, that business isn't paying for it. That cost is spread across other employers. So I just want to point that out. When you say they're paying in, but they're not paying the cost of the unemployment benefits, which are then paid out to their workers, that cost over, if a worker is paid more than 5 weeks of benefits, that cost is spread to other employers, not back to the employer who actually did the layoff.
So, Mr. Nelson, is that standard across the system that employers typically would pay in for 5 weeks' worth of unemployment benefits for their employees? Across the system, I mean, so they could, are we assuming that at any one time an employer might have a layoff that would be of that length for employees?
Madam Chair, it doesn't work exactly that way. I'm talking about highly seasonal businesses. And Minnesota has about 2,800 we call highly seasonal businesses in which they pay in a maximum tax per worker, which covers about 5 weeks of benefits. But if those workers in a highly seasonal businesses draw out more than 5 weeks, that cost is spread to all other employers in Minnesota. And I just wanted to clarify that for the senator, is when people say, gee, we're paying in, but they're not paying the cost because there is a maximum tax in Minnesota. It's capped at a certain level, and therefore those businesses aren't covering the cost. It's actually spread to all other employers.
Madam Chair, one final.
Senator Newman.
One final question for Mr. Nelson. What this constituent has described to me and what you are describing to me are two different things. And he believes he is, in fact, paying in. So I'm just wondering if I could trouble you for some kind of a memo or an explanation of this area that I could then pass on to my constituents.
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, certainly meet with you. We could look up the individual constituents' account, exactly how much in unemployment benefits were paid over the past 5 years and paid out to their former workers and how much in unemployment taxes were actually paid. But if it's a highly seasonal business, not covering the costs, anywhere near the costs of unemployment benefits. That 2,800 employers are actually, if you want to use the word, subsidized by $100 million a year. Over $100 million a year paid out to workers for that 2,800 employers, which aren't covered by the taxes paid by those 2,800 businesses. That's a serious concern. Part of it last year was an attempt to get at that. There are other ways to get at it. They're a little more complicated, and we're bringing those up in our advisory council to look at other ways to reduce that subsidy, if you will.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Nelson? Sorry. A couple of questions. How does this compare with what other states are doing? Are we consistent with higher, lower? What's the standard, and where are we compared to what other states are doing?
Mr. Nelson?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hahn, the question is, in relation to what? Are we talking about taxes? Are we talking about benefit levels when you say in relation to other states? Or is it something about this bill. I'm not quite sure where.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I'm interested in knowing all those things, but start with respect to this particular issue. Are we consistent with what is generally the practice in other states by the change that you're that is being proposed here or not?
Mr. Nelson. Chairman, Senator Hahn, there are about 15 states, I recall, that have some limitation for business owners and families. Minnesota has had since the early 80s a certain restriction on family members. Still covers spouses, still covers parents, are all limited to 5 weeks, and it was simply expanded to apply to all children rather than simply minor children. But there are a number of states which have similar provisions. The reason for it being done in the 80s was, as I understand, when family farms were incorporating in large numbers. And you think about it, they could pay in the maximum tax per worker, but then they would not work for a large portion of the year and then collect unemployment benefits. You could actually then keep pulling out a lot more in unemployment benefits than you ever paid in. The maximum tax in Minnesota per worker is right around $3,000. But the maximum amount of benefits a worker could receive in a year is $15,000. So if a worker, highly paid worker, works 6 months a year, the employer would pay in $3,000 a year in tax on that worker. But the worker would then draw out of the unemployment trust fund $15,000 a year. And that's where the issue is. And that's why this bill was in place, so that family corporations, business owners, couldn't manipulate and pull out a lot more than they pay in. And it doesn't work perfectly, but it's an attempt to get at that issue.
Senator.
Madam Chair, Mr. Nelson, the structure you're describing, just as a, for instance, what is Wisconsin's unemployment structure compared to ours? We hear a lot about Wisconsin and just the we're in competition with them in our job climate, and what does our unemployment structure look like compared to Wisconsin?
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, Wisconsin benefit levels are substantially lower than Minnesota's. I can also tell you that Wisconsin's average tax rate is higher than it is in Minnesota because Wisconsin has a little bit different benefit payment. They allow benefit payments for the first week an individual is unemployed. Minnesota does not. So they have a lot more people file for unemployment benefits than do we in Minnesota. So it's a little bit of an apple and an orange, but the average taxes in Wisconsin, unemployment taxes, are higher than they are in Minnesota, and the average benefits are actually lower.
Madam Chair and Mr. Nelson, does that mean that in Wisconsin, for example, you described that the contribution about $3,000 per person, but the maximum withdrawal is $15,000 on an annual basis? Is that comparable to what other states do as well?
Mr. Nelson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hahn, Minnesota's tax at $3,000 per worker is the highest in the nation. Minnesota we're experience rated. We charge employers who do layoffs much higher than other states. Wisconsin has a very narrow tax rate. Their minimum taxes are much higher than they are in Minnesota, and their maximum tax is a lot lower. Minnesota's minimum tax on a worker, let's say an employer who has never had any layoffs, is low nationally. Minnesota does not charge employers who have no layoffs very much. But on the other hand, if you have high layoffs, Minnesota does charge more than corresponding other states would. So we're much more experience rated. We charge the employers who have the layoffs in much greater than do other states.
And Madam Chair, one last question, Mr. Nelson. Just this fiscal note says that since July 2010, this was a change that was made last year. How did the change come about that we're now going back and correcting? What was the history of that?
Was
it a mistake or just?
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chair, Senator Hahn. No, it was discussed in our advisory council. One of the pushes has been to address the subsidy question, highly seasonal businesses, especially family-owned, highly seasonal businesses. And how do you get at it? And a number of ways were looked at, including increasing tax rates and some of those things. And this was just probably down at the bottom and kind of a consensus of, okay, it was discussed in the Senate committee last year. I don't think people fully appreciated the firestorm it would cause. But it was intended to get at that subsidy. That was its purpose. That's why it was brought forward. And I say I don't think people appreciated quite the firestorm it caused, but it was an attempt to do that.
Thanks.
Well, Mr. Nelson, would you say that the department may have noticed some abuse of the system? I mean, like, if you have a family-owned business with the I suppose it would be easy for the employer of the business to lay off his family members first and hire him back last, something like that. I mean, it would be an easy thing to do, but it would be hard to document that they had intentionally done that.
Madam Chair, many of the 2,800 employers are very small. They may have only just a handful of workers. Some of the workers, the only workers may be the children and the family members. I dealt with one out of Duluth in which the father owned the business. He was 65 years old, and he had another job, full-time job. The only worker for this company, which was an excavating company, was his son, who was 44 years old. And his son was collecting unemployment benefits every single year, substantially more than that business was ever paying in. And that was some of the things we were seeing. We've seen a number of those cases in which you may have only a few employees and they may be family members, and they're drawing out substantially more than they're paying in. But as I indicated, there are other ways of getting at this, and our advisory council intends to look into other ways of reducing the subsidy without going directly at children owners.
Senator Bonoff.
Madam Chair, I sit on the advisory council, and I have for the last couple of years, and I have learned a great deal about this area, and it is really interesting, and I would recommend anyone who gets the chance to do that. I have been surprised by the amount of people, particularly the seasonal workers, who this is a year after year thing. That's what they do. They have a seasonal job, and then they collect unemployment for the off time, and they go back, and then we spread the cost of that across all of our employers, and it's been eye-opening, and I've questioned, is that really the right approach? But with regard to this particular bill, I got several calls over the summer from senators whose constituents were calling, just like Senator Newman's constituent. And I remember Senator Saxhog actually driving to the cities to come to one of our meetings because he was quite concerned about it. And Senator Lori was very concerned about it. And so Senator Peterson, is it Peterson or?
That's Peterson,
okay.
Thank
Peterson.
You.
Peterson. Thank you for bringing this forward, and I have talked to them, and the bill does address their concerns. And so just for members' understanding, we did put this forward in the bill because of concerns about fraud. And so it was thought that this could be a way to stop some of the fraud in the system, and then, turned out that perhaps, there were unintended consequences we hadn't expected, but fraud is a big concern, and I think it is something we'll have to wrestle with. So.
Thank you. Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you explain to me how the retroactive provision's you're going back to July 10. I'm sorry I got here a little late, but can you, maybe you talked about that already, Mr. Nelson, but could you explain that for a situation where, for example, I have a construction company that one of their children went through this, and so how would I explain that to them? How would this
Mr. work? Nelson?
Madam Chair, Senator Magnus, the department is already tracking every single person impacted by this particular provision. We literally have a list of them.
Yeah.
And if this bill is enacted, we will then notify them. And we'll have to complete a questionnaire. I don't know why they have to do that. But and then if that individual has, in fact, additional unemployment benefits coming because they have been unemployed that long, they will then be paid retroactively. One thing I do want to point out, while individuals are limited to 5 weeks of regular state benefits, they then are entitled to a partial federal extension. The total amount of unemployment benefits available such a person could be up to 16 and a half weeks with the federal extension, so they aren't limited to five.
Yeah.
Right. But let's say anyone who's used up that 16 and a half weeks will then be contacted, determine that they've remained unemployed, and they would be paid for any additional benefits that would be due, all the way retroactively back to July 1st. I mean, there could be somebody who was laid off in the summer, and so they could have been impacted by this back in July even.
Okay, so Madam Chair, just
Senator Magnus.
And that's what I've advised those folks to do, is look at the other program and use that if available, if they could use that. And so what I'm hearing from you is if they did use that program and then they had so they would not be affected at all then with this retroactive provision then, if they were able to access those funds.
Mr. Nelson.
They'd be made whole already.
Madam Chair, Senator Magnus, up to 16 and a half weeks, yeah, they would automatically move into an extension. It's literally asked one question: do you want to apply for the federal extension? You say yes, either online or over the phone, and then you're automatically in the extension.
Yeah.
So it will all be automatic for most of the people. Like I say, those who have exhausted all of that 16 and a half weeks will be contacted, and if they're still unemployed, they would be paid retroactively for any weeks they were unemployed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nelson.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a point of clarification, when you get back to the $3,000 and $15,000 figures, are these folks that you call, excuse me, highly seasonal folks, still paying the $3,000 in a shorter period of time than the normal folks? I mean, do they pay their $3,000 before they're eligible for unemployment?
Mr. Nelson?
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, it doesn't quite work that way. One thing, the cost of unemployment benefits are not prepaid by employers, but in fact postpaid. The fund pays it out, and that will, the employer's experience rating will increase so that the fund is recouped. That's the way it was designed to work. But there's a maximum tax, so that if too much is paid out, the employer hits that maximum tax, they will never then replenish the fund. And when I say it's 3,000 a worker, the benefits were already paid out. This is an employer's highly seasonal. The benefits are paid out to the workers, and they will be paying in, you know, let's say this year, you're paying actually for the benefits paid out over the past 4 years. So you're paying in that $3,000, and the fund is recouping for the benefits which have already been paid out. But with a maximum tax of $3,000 per worker per year, but a worker could draw out up to $15,000 per year, and that's where the gap is.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Just to follow up, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not very easily confused, by the way. But a person works 6 months a year, seasonal worker, 6 months a year. The employer then will be paying in then at the end, however they're paid, will be paying in the same amount as a full-time employee.
Mr. Nelson.
Fair.
Madam Chair, Senator Ingebrigtsen, employers pay a tax. They pay the tax actually quarterly, and they pay it on the first $27,000 of wages paid per year per employee. So if they pay that employee $27,000, let's say in the first 6 months of the year, they pay all their tax in two quarters. If they employ that person year round and pay them $27,000, they would pay it over four quarters. But in a year, they pay the tax on $27,000, our taxable wage base. And so, but if the maximum tax they can pay in per worker amounts to about $3,000, just short, it's $2,980 something.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Just one more follow-up. Thank you, Madam Chair. The enforcement part, is how does that mechanism work, as the Senator was saying? I know they're concerned about that, but is there some follow-up with enforcement on this? If a family member seems to be the only one that gets laid off, is there some kind of a follow-up or some kind of a system or mechanism in place to follow up with that?
Mr. Nelson.
Madam Chair, Senator Engelbretson, an individual is required to meet all of the same requirements that anyone else would. They have to certify to the same eligibility standards as everyone else. And in the sense of currently, as of last week, there were 171,000 people requesting unemployment benefits last week. And the sheer volume right now, 360,000 Minnesotans applied for benefits last year. The volume is unprecedented, and the amount of money we're paying out is unbelievable in relation to what it was, I want to say, 10 years ago. And so so when you say monitoring or following up, they are asked a series of questions, and if they answer those questions, if we have a suspicion that there's fraud going on, that's another matter. We have investigators that may go out and those type of things, but only if it's specifically brought to our attention.
Senator Perry and then Senator Berglund.
I'm fine.
You're fine? Okay, Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a constituent write to me this fall, or I guess it'd be early winter, and they had worked for their parents' business for 15 years, and their parents' business was going out of business due to the economy. And it was not a seasonal business. They had worked full-time for 15 years, but they were not going to be able to collect unemployment. Would this legislation correct that situation?
Mr. Nelson?
Madam Chair, yes. I'd have to look at the individual facts.
I realize it's not retroactive, but if this would happen to another person in the same situation...
Madam Chair.
It is retroactive.
Well, it is retroactive. Oh, well, good.
Senator Peterson.
Madam Chair and members, it's important to note in that case, Senator Berglund, if that sibling or child owned 25% or more of that business, then Mr. Nelson can correct me if I'm wrong, they would not be eligible. That's currently the situation business owners operate under, and that's a significant fact to remember, because if they own 25% or more of that business, they're not eligible for unemployment if that business would go out, go file for bankruptcy or close their doors, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I myself personally believe our unemployment rate is much, much higher than the published rate, because, you know, I have a relatively small customer list myself. I have about 2,000 customers, and in the last 4 years, I've had about 125 customers file for bankruptcy. You know, if you do the math on that, that's about two a month. And every one of those is a small business with probably less than 10 employees, and they're closing their doors and they're filing for bankruptcy, and they're not eligible for any unemployment at all. So,
right, Madam Chair.
Senator Berglund.
Senator Pedersen, I believe that this was not a case where the child had any ownership in the business. I'm sure if things hadn't gotten so hard for their business, they might have inherited the business at some point in time. But I think the bill would be helpful for this constituent. Thank you.
Mr. Nelson, did you have a comment? Any more questions? Otherwise, we need a motion to move the bill.
I will move the bill.
Senator Berglund moves Senate File 114. Be recommended to pass and sent to the floor.
Madam Chair?
Senator Nino.
No question. I just want, Senator Peterson, this is a wonderful bill. I had actually drafted an identical bill, I think introduced same day as yours, not realizing you were already working on it. So I'm glad to let you run with this and get it to the floor and put the tax conformity language in there. It's a good bill. There are some legitimate issues there, but the approach last year was more of a meat cleaver than a scalpel approach, and we're addressing some problems that were created for some people, and it's a very good bill. I hope everybody votes for it.
Yes, Senator Peterson, I think all of us probably have heard from one or two constituents at least on this issue. I know I certainly have myself.
Madam Chair, Senator and members, if I could just have one more comment as this moves to the floor, you know, again, we would appreciate your support on this as you talk to fellow members, you know, there is an important part of this that we need to remember. There absolutely is a deadline for the second part of this in order to get at those federal unemployment dollars for our residents that you really have no cost to us directly here in the state. And Mr. Nelson can direct. It's in March, and that's the reason why we need to get this passed as quickly as possible and try and get it to the governor's desk as quick as we can.
Senator Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to thank Mr. Nelson and the department. You folks have been great to work with. I've talked to you personally a couple times, and you folks have been great to work with. So I appreciate that, because that's not always the case sometimes, but you guys have been great. So.
Okay. Well, there's no further discussion. Senator Berglund renews her motion that Senate File 114 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The bill does pass to the floor. And if there's no other business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned.